This evening in your Bibles, book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 3, we continue on in our series of 2 Samuel. This series is subtitled, A Heart to Hear. This has the idea of hearing with obedience, not just simply hearing with the ears, but with a willing heart, particularly that it was Saul's failure in 1 Samuel, and it'll be a measure of David's success in 2 Samuel, but again, we certainly don't want to imply that he was by any means perfect, because David wasn't. He was a man subject to like passions as we are. Yet he did have a heart to hear from God and a heart to obey and to listen. And tonight, as we pick up in this narrative, we're going to actually just sort of pick up where we quit last week. In fact, just a little bit back into where we quit last week. And we're going to move forward. But it is my intention not to keep you all night. I knew that we'd have a lengthy business meeting. And so we're not going to try to tackle the remainder of this chapter. We're just going to bite off one portion of it, if you will. Read with me. I'll be reading from 2 Samuel chapter number 3, beginning at verse number 17. There God's word says, "And Abner," now remember, Abner is Saul's uncle. He is the one who installed Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, as to be the king over Israel in direct defiance of God's plan and purpose of David being king. So Abner is a bad guy. No other way about it, okay? Abner had communication. We talked about him last week as the kingmaker. He thought he was the man. And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, "Ye sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying," and again, remember, he knows Ish-bosheth was a usurper that he had installed over Israel, when in fact God had said that it would be David. That was, David was his anointed, God's anointed, who should rule. So Abner knew what he had done was against the revealed will and word of God. So he says, "By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies." And Abner spoke in the ears of Benjamin, that is the tribe of Benjamin, that would have been Saul's lineage, and that's why that's particularly mentioned. And Abner went also to speak in the ears of David in Hebron, all that seemed good to Israel, and that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin. So Abner came to David to Hebron, and 20 men with him. And David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said unto David, "I will arise and go, and will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desireth." And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop and brought in a great spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he was gone in peace. When Joab and all the host that was with him were come, they told Joab, saying, "Abner, the son of Ner, came to the king, and he has sent him away, and he is gone in peace." Then Joab came to the king and said, "What hast thou done? Behold, Abner came unto thee. Why is it that thou hast sent him away, and he is quite gone? Why did you let him go? Thou knowest Abner, the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thy going out and thy coming in, and to know all that thou doest." And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sirah, but David knew it not. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. I want to speak to you this evening on the subject of a kingly pardon. A kingly pardon. Now, a pardon, as it relates to our study this evening, can be defined as a government decision to allow a person to be relieved of some or all of the legal consequences resulting from a criminal conviction. Article 2, Section 2, Clause 1 of the United States Constitution gives the president the power to pardon. Under the pardon clause, the president, quote, shall have power to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States. Simply stated, the president of the U.S., due to his position, has the authority to forgive and dismiss criminal charges against individuals. Many of us will be familiar with the presidential pardon. Perhaps some of you may even be old enough to remember when President Gerald Ford issued a presidential pardon to Richard Nixon over the events surrounding the Watergate scandal. In January 1989, President Ronald Reagan pardoned New York Yankees owner George Steinbrenner for charges related to illegal campaign contributions. More recently, in 2001, President Bill Clinton pardoned his brother or half-brother after a year in prison for a conviction concerning drug trafficking. Unfortunately, Clinton's brother found himself right back in jail not long after that. But the presidential pardon can and often is used in nefarious ways. Yet it does reveal to us the tremendous authority wielded by people who are in power. However, in our text, we read of a pardon issued not by a president, but by a king, King David. And it wasn't the Constitution that afforded David the power to pardon. Instead, it was his anointed role as king over Israel. And to be honest, the pardon that David issues is to a most surprising subject, the rebel Abner. And I would like for us to consider this kingly pardon together. It would be impossible to talk about this passage without talking about the rebel Abner and Joab. Remember, Joab is the leader of David's army. He is David's cousin. And there's no other way to say this. Joab is bloodthirsty and brutal. That's who he is. And there was no love lost between Joab and Abner. Joab does not trust Abner, nor should he. He has no reason to. Abner has opposed David for years. Abner supported Ishbosheth, Saul's son. Abner killed Joab's brother Asahel in a recent battle. Yet it is the king's decision to pardon Abner. But that doesn't sit well with Joab at all. Let's look at that together this evening. Now, if you will remember, as I mentioned, in verses 17 down through 21, we find where Abner gathers together. He is, in his own mind, the kingmaker. And there's no doubt Abner has clout. He has the favor of the people in many ways. Ishbosheth was really just sort of a puppet in his hands. Having left Ishbosheth behind, he now comes and cuddles up to King David and says, David, if you want to be king, I'll help you get there. And so Abner begins this campaign. He hits the campaign trail trying to get David elected. Travels to different areas of Israel, and in particular to the land allotment of Benjamin. Because if you can get Benjamin on your side, where Saul's family from, then Abner feels like he will help get David the throne over all Israel. Remember, David only ruled in Hebron over Judah at this time. He has not yet been anointed as king over all Israel. But there's something important that you need to get. And it is this, that in verse number 20, when Abner comes to David in Hebron, he brings 20 men with him. Now, I didn't really get into this last week. We didn't really talk about it. I mentioned this, but we didn't really get into it because I wanted to do it this week. Now, we don't know who those 20 men were. They were either rulers and elders in Israel, or they were warriors, soldiers of Abner, or maybe they were both. But you need to understand, when David opens up his home to provide a meal for Abner and these men, this is not just, hey, how you doing? This is David receiving Abner. And what we will learn is that this is David forgiving Abner, issuing a kingly pardon to Abner. David receives him. Again, you get back into that culture, receiving someone into your home. That's what got Jesus in so much trouble when he went into the home of sinners. You remember, he is a friend of sinners and eats with them. So in this culture, it was no doubt that when you went into the home of someone, in particular when you had someone in the position of David, opens up his palace to this man who had opposed him now for many years, this is David receiving Abner warmly. Receiving him warmly. And in verse 21, Abner says, I will arise and I'll gather all Israel unto my lord the king. And I want you to notice these words, that they may make a league with thee. And what we're going to learn is that Abner has made a league with David, David with Abner. And that word league, as we have it here, is just another translation for covenant. That's what it is. And in fact, I don't know why, but there's obviously some wisdom behind this. I just don't know why, but it is most often translated as covenant. The exact same Hebrew word. You do a word search, and it is most often translated as covenant. Why they didn't hear, I don't know. But if you go back to verse number 12, Abner sent messengers to David on his behalf, saying, who is the land? Saying also, make thy league or make a covenant with me. In verse 13, David replies and says, I will make a league or I will make a covenant with you. So now we have someone who has opposed David, worked against David, has done everything to destroy David's kingdom, but now all of a sudden David has forgiven him, pardoned him, and entered into a league or covenant with him. And in verse 21, Abner says, I'm going to go get all Israel so that they can enter into a covenant with you. Enter into a league with you. This is, if you will, a peace treaty. David and Abner enter into a covenant together. David issues a royal pardon to Abner. In other words, David says, we're going to let bygones be bygones. David has learned that sometimes leaders have to just let some things go in order to promote peace. Now, I don't know, and I want you to get this, I don't know that David intends to let Abner be his chief counselor, his BFF. I don't necessarily think David is blind to the fact that Abner is Abner. Abner's about Abner. I don't think David is blind to that, but he is willing, in order to gather all of Israel behind him, he's willing to use Abner's clout and issues this divine pardon. And one of the reasons why we know that this is a royal pardon, a kingly pardon, is because there is a phrase that is repeated three times in our text. I wonder if you caught it as we were reading through. Look at the close of verse number 21. And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. The close of verse 22. He had sent him away, and he was gone in peace. The close of verse 23. and he is gone in peace. Again, you don't have to be a Bible scholar or a theologian to get it. There was a peace treaty made between David and Abner, and David allows Abner to leave in peace. As far as Abner is concerned, everything that's in the past is gone. He's been issued a royal pardon. David is concerned about national unity. David wants to draw together all 12 tribes. He's willing to use Abner's position and his clout in order to strengthen Israel as a nation. Remember, they were always under constant threat of invasion. They still have a major Philistine problem. And so in order to unite the tribes behind him, David pardons Abner of his past transgressions and establishes a covenant with him. They, that is, between David and Abner. And so it seems like everything's going according to David's plans, but enter Joab into the narrative. Joab and his men have been out pursuing a troop. Verse 22, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop. Again, we don't know exactly what this means. Whoever it was had a large spoil or bounty, a large, you know, a great deal of merchandise, whatever that it was, whether it was raiding Philistine parties and Joab and his men go out against them, or whether it was an invasion from the Amalekites, from the Amorites, Ammonites. We don't know. We just don't know who it is, but I don't know this, but it is very possible that David knowingly invited Abner when he did because he knew Joab was gone and going to be gone for a little while. I don't know that, but it is indeed very possible. Because there's no way David wasn't aware of that animosity that existed between Abner and Joab. And so when Joab returns, Abner has already left. Abner has left again, verse 22, verse 23, he has gone in peace. As far as he knows, as far as Abner goes, knows there is now peace between the house of David and himself. And when Joab gets back, the gossip hits his ears in a hurry. Joab, you're not going to believe who came to dinner last night. You're just not going to believe who came. Abner, of all people, our enemy, enemy number one, the guy who's been opposing your throne now for years, he came and David received him and issued a divine pardon, forgiving him, and has sent him away in peace. Needless to say, Joab is not happy about this situation. I could say it like this: Joab is hot under the collar. He comes to the king in verse number 24 and says, "Man, what have you done?" Now, it takes a little bit of boldness to get up in the face of the king, but that's exactly what Joab does. What have you done? Why would you let him come here in peace? Why would you let him leave in peace? Why have you received him? Don't you know you can't trust Abner? And if I get those names, Joab and Abner, crossed up, it's just going to happen. It's inevitable. But I'm trying hard. Joab says to him, why, and then you look at verse 24, why is it that you sent him away? Why is it that he's gone? Why is he quite gone? Why is he gone in peace? Why have you let him go? You had the enemy here and you could have easily killed him. So Joab, you know, again, there's no loss, but love loss between Joab and Abner. Joab is, I mean, he is livid that David would invite him, that he would forgive him. But you need to understand, Joab was a little bit about Joab too. Because I think, and this is my studies lend me, that Joab was a little bit concerned that maybe old Abner might cozy up to the king and put him out of a job. So Joab is not all righteous, you know, his righteous indignation and his zeal for David's throne. That's not what it is. Joab's worried about Joab and his position. I want to share this little cute story with you. Did you hear about this little boy who bravely jumped into the icy waters of a pond to save his classmate who had fell through the ice? Yes, he endangered his own life, this young boy, and pulled his classmate up out of the icy waters. Someone asked the little boy a little bit later, said, "How is it that you had the bravery and the courage to risk your life to save your classmate?" And the little boy replied by saying, "Well, I had to. He had on my skates." But sometimes we all look out for ourselves, and I think Joab was looking out for himself. I think Joab was a little bit about Joab. Don't get the idea. And now, we can understand, right, that Joab is upset. This is the man that killed my brother. This is the man that has been usurping the authority from David's throne. This is the man that has been actively working against us. What Joab doesn't recognize, but this is also the man that the king has pardoned. This is also the man that the king has made peace with. Why? Why would you do this? You know, I don't think Joab's motives were all pure, but I don't think Abner's motives were all pure either. It's not like Abner found repentance all of a sudden and now he really cares about making sure David is king. I think he just realized he's not getting anywhere with Ishbosheth. Ishbosheth made an accusation against him and he just said, "Look, I'm done with you. I'm going to go help David be." I think his desire is to be the man, to move as high up in power and authority as he possibly can. He wasn't getting anywhere with the son of Saul, so he moves over to David now. This one that had betrayed had been forgiven, and Joab couldn't stand it. Joab says, "Why would you do this, David? Why would you pardon him?" And as I was preparing this, I could not help but think that like David, our king often pardons the most unlikely people. Can you say amen to that this evening? That like David, our king most often or very often pardons the most unworthy, undeserving people. I fit that number. I fit that number. Why our king was so bold as to pardon tax collectors and prostitutes. He pardoned religious zealots and persecutors. But more than that, our king pardoned people just like you and I. We didn't deserve the king's forgiveness or pardon. You ready for this? Any more than Abner deserved David's pardon. And yet our king, in his gracious love and mercy, has pardoned us from all of our past trespasses and all of our failures and how we tried to usurp his authority and how we defied him. Our king has issued a royal pardon and forgiven all who trust in him. The king showed mercy and made a covenant with Abner, and our king has shown mercy and made a covenant with us. He's made peace with us. That infuriated Joab. Yes, it did. Verse 25, Joab says, "Don't you know that Abner came to deceive you, to know you're going out and coming in, to know all that you do?" Joab is convinced. Again, Joab's looking out for Joab a little bit, but Joab's also, he doesn't trust Abner, and I understand that, but nonetheless, the king pardoned him. And Joab says, this is all a conspiracy. He just came over here so he could learn your schedule, see our defenses, learn the layout of the palace so whenever he had opportunity he could come in and kill you. He's up to no good. You can't make peace with him. You can't trust him. And when Joab leaves David's throne room, he sends messengers after Abner. And there's a part of this, as I'm reading this narrative, maybe you're thinking, Abner ought to know better. He ought to know better than trusting Joab, so it is very likely that Joab sent messengers saying, David wants you back. Joab sends messengers to Abner and says, hey, listen, you need to turn around and come back. And when he does, when Abner returns, Joab, verse 27, when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate. Can you just envision that in your mind? Joab throwing his arm around old Abner. Come on, man. We're going to work through this. We're going to talk this thing out. Leads him over into the gate of the city. Speaks quietly, privately with him. And pulls out a sharp blade and shoves it up under his fifth rib. And kills Abner. For those of you who are keeping an account, that is the exact same way that Abner had killed Asahel, Joab's brother. He had run a sharp blade, a spear in that case, up under Asahel's fifth rib. And when Joab exacts vengeance, buddy, he gets his vengeance. He kills him in the same way. Listen, I told you when I did that little refresher sermon, Joab would not forget and he would not forgive Abner for the killing of his brother. And you need to get this. This is in direct rebellion to the king's actions, as he had pardoned Abner, as he had made peace with Abner. And this was nothing short of cold-blooded murder. Cold-blooded murder. Under the guise of peace, Joab commits premeditated murder. Yeah, there's a part of us that says we understand why he would do this. He wants vengeance for his brother's death. Abner had killed his brother. But let me remind you that that was during a time of war. They are now at peace, if you will. And in particular, Abner was under the protection of the king's peace, or should have been. Joab had no right to take matters into his own hands, especially knowing that he had been pardoned by the king. But just in case you're not read ahead, this is not the last time that Joab will ignore what David says. This is not the last time that Joab will ignore it. Last week, I warned you, don't be like Abner. Don't be a self-serving, underhanded, bloated kingmaker, thinking yourself more than you are. This week, I warn you, don't be like Joab. Joab did not trust the king's judgment. Isn't that what he did when he came running in there? Why would you do this? Why would you pardon him? Why would you forgive him? Why have you sent him away in peace? Joab did not have confidence in the king's wisdom. Joab did not forgive those whom the king had forgiven. Joab did take matters into his own hands. Joab ignored the king's wishes. And Joab sought his own vengeance. Don't be like Joab. Trust your king's judgment. Have confidence in his wisdom. You ready? Forgive those your king has also forgiven. And leave wrath and vengeance to the king. Does not the Bible say, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay? We have no right to take retribution into our own hands. Don't be like Abner, but don't be like Joab. As I close this evening, I ask this. You know what is better than a presidential pardon? To be pardoned by King Jesus. That's better than being a presidential pardon. That our King, in His mercy, would pardon us. We can learn these Old Testament narratives and stories, we can learn. Abner didn't deserve, had not earned the king's forgiveness, yet the king showed forgiveness and made a peace pact, a peace treaty. And so has he done for us, our King, King Jesus, the Son of David. I don't know how many of you may be familiar with the with this song, and I'm not going to sing it. But I'm going to share these lyrics with you. Jesus signed my pardon. This I surely know. Took my place at Calvary. Now I don't have to go. All my life I'll give Him. He gave His for me. When He signed my pardon, there at Calvary, Jesus bought kingly pardon, a king's pardon for all who would trust in Him. Aren't you glad tonight? I don't want you to walk out here thinking too much of yourself. Aren't you glad that our King shows mercy to some of the most unlikely and undeserving folks? That you, if you are a Christian tonight, you have been issued a kingly pardon. Yes, he ends up dead, and I'm not suggesting, because I don't think Abner became a follower of Jehovah or Yahweh. I don't believe that. But I do believe there is an example or illustration there. Come back next week. We're going to talk about David's innocence in this. David didn't know what was going on. But more than that, there's one little phrase that I want you to take notice of as we get to the close of this chapter together. And we'll talk about that next week.